Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God. Tonight's praise and worship is presented by Prophet Ursula Wright. Visit www.uwright.com for her ministry contact and booking information. Again, that's www.uwright.com.
As we worship God, God is going to clean his church and cleanse our hearts. Because, you know, when you really fall in love with somebody, you change because of them. True love changes you. Y'all never heard that before, right? You ever notice? That's why when you fall in love with the wrong guy, you dress wrong. You fall in love with the right woman, your dress should live right. You notice that? True love changes you. That's why you can know that you are not in love or in love with somebody from the heart. A lot of time, infatuation masquerades as love. A lot of time, admiration masquerades as love. But if your love doesn't change you to that person's delight and best interest, it's not that kind of love. Sometimes we have passion for a person and we think passion is love. Can I say that? See, we think that when you're passionate, you think that's love. Well, I'm real passionate, but you know, you can be passionate about football. People are. Basketball. You date a person, but you marry their world. So why do marriages fail? Because you think you're marrying a date. Because all the while you're courting, it's you and the person. The day after the wedding, it's you and the tribe. The tribe shows up. I didn't know you had an Uncle Bubba. And I didn't know he did that. Oh, Lord. Are you sure he your uncle? And then you want to know if they the uncle by marriage or by nature, because there's a hope that if it's by marriage, they'll be a divorce and you can get rid of this person. Marriages fail because you don't know the world you're marrying. That's why, could you help me in this? That is why when you are married somebody as a minister, they'll either take you out of ministry or the marriage will die. Because they don't share your passion for ministry. See how that works out? They don't really like your God like you do. Oh, yeah. Did she just say that? Yeah. They don't like your God like you do. And you haven't listened all the while those dates were happening to find out they don't like your God like you do. Some people don't think God is worthy of what you think he's worthy of. Some of them think, you know, Sunday, 2 hours is enough. You trying to be 24/7 Jesus. That's a marriage marked for disaster. Some people don't like your career. And their hope is once they marry you, they'll get you to change careers. So here's the second caveat. Don't marry anybody you want to change. Now, why we're here, I don't know. But in any event, I don't know. You know, but with me, I come off the road, what can I say? If you have it in your mind that the pressure of being your spouse will break somebody's will so that it conforms to your will, you have doomed your marriage. Wow. Kind of hard to take, isn't it? So, because that means one of you faking and the other's bullying. Somebody's faking. Yo, baby, you fine. You everything I want. And in the back of your mind, what they don't hear is, yeah, but when we get married, you're going to give up this. You're going to give up that. We're not going to have this. We're not going to have that. Isn't that interesting? See, you're going to fix, I'm going to change the way you eat, going to change the way you need to do all of that before you walk down the aisle. Because after you walk down the aisle, all the rules change. So you don't want to marry someone whose world you don't like, whose career you don't like, whose God you don't like, whose passions you don't like, whose opinions you don't like. There's a difference between disliking them and not agreeing with them. Because you can make concessions on agreement, but conflict comes from dislike. So you can concede. All right, well, you want to be a Republican, I want to be a Democrat. Okay, that's a concession. That's not worth breaking a marriage over. You know, you like NBC. I like ABC. Okay, that we can work with. But you don't like my career. You don't like how I dress. You don't like how I do this or that. And these are conditions for our marriage being safe and sound or not. We got a problem. So you have to find out what each person calls a safety condition of marriage. We can work it out if this is here, this is that. If you see a temper flare up and you look at rage in the eyes too often, you need to know that that's an abuse waiting for license. Hot tempers don't go away because you have a wonderful day. Intolerance doesn't go away because you have a wonderful day. You see how that works out? I've taught this. I've talked about it on radio shows and TV shows. People ask, well, why doesn't God step in when Christian women are being abused? Have you ever wondered that? Like, why won't God step in? It's a little issue called the spirit of marriage. God wrote in his Bible, in Genesis, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Your desire, I really want this tape kind of clean, will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So what does that mean? That means even the punkish man will take on a whole demeanor when marriage, the spirit of marriage, hits that unit. And God honors marriage. So he will release that spirit and bind you so you can't leave. You don't know why you can't leave, but you can't leave. Because if he warned you beforehand, he's going to let you live it out. Because you ignored his warning. He's going to make it happen. And I've done it. Now, the minute you break and leave, heaven going to step up because now you're no longer under their husband's authority. God honors authority. And those of us who've been married and divorced can tell you, amen. And God won't lift a finger. He'll let him beat you to within an inch of your life. Now, if he has a purpose for you, he will stop at that inch. So all of these Christian women who are racing down the aisles with these guys, you think God's going to help? He's not going to do it. Because he has the spirit of marriage, and he honors it as his primary institution. So when you get your little inklings and you get your little warnings and all of those kinds of things, you need to ask yourself, do I want to marry this world? And what is this world going to do? You know, even the world does that. You ever notice that even if you get divorced, the person's world still is on your shoulders? Debt, lack, loss, credit, still on you. He off and she off doing something else. You still paying for that poor decision because you married their world. You still got the kids. Kids got the same genetic predisposition. You got the gene pool still multiplying and magnifying. Share they both. And it's the truth. The person is long gone. All of y'all with them little one-night stands, you got to deal with that person forever. You don't want to, but you made a call.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
Malachi 2:13. God is talking to the priest. How many of you know we are the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ? We are the holy nation. We are the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And it says, and this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying. So he does not regard the offering any longer or anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. She is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? What made them one? The spirit of marriage. God seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says he hates divorce. It covers one's garment with violence. Isn't that a powerful thing? Says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and do not deal treacherously. When I counsel couples, I take them right there. I don't care about your wedding. I don't care if you got 6 white horses, 25 chariots, 72 doves, candelabras falling from heaven, and angels' wings fluttering over the altar. I don't care. Because that's one day. The days that you should be working on forging the right spirit, you spend showcasing for people who don't care. You spend $30,000 on a marriage and go home to a $600 a month apartment. I told my daughters, if you do that, I'm not going to marry. I'm out. I'm not doing it. You sell dried chicken that stays on the table. Isn't it the truth? Anybody ever stay behind to see how much that $30,000 goes in the garbage? The marriage arranger gathers up all of the trappings, takes it home for you one day. And you wake up the next day and say, what? What have I done? So I would invest. I told my daughters, most of y'all are not going to do it because you live a fantasy. I got a couple of daughters who are going to do it wrong anyhow because they love fantasy. And if they do it wrong, I already know they're marrying the wrong person. I tell my daughters. No, I got a couple of fantasy daughters. Trust me, they think I don't know that they fantasy. And I pray for them all the time. I say, oh, Lord, you're going to have such a terrible later life. Because if stars don't fall from their eyes, the stars are going to cause you to fall from your place. I listen to them. Oh, I want to have a big wedding. Why? You can't even make a good marriage. Right now, the worst decision you've made is to spend all your money on a wedding for one day, for 4 hours. That's a bad business decision. That's a bad household decision. So I already know you're wasteful. And then you're mad because the guy is like, baby, we don't need all of that. Yes, we do, because your mama ain't got to keep that marriage. Your daddy ain't got to keep that marriage. I say spend $5,000 on a marriage and take the other $25,000 and buy a house. Because nothing is worse than to have a really romantic honeymoon come back to a horrible home. Now, if you're rich and your spouse is rich, have at it. But I'm telling you, I would rather than spend all of that money shopping for marital stuff. I already told my daughters. I would spend all that money decorating my new home. So when I come from my luxury hotel, I'm going to my luxury house. Now that's a better business deal. Think about the people who do it 3, 4, 5 times. You know they're wasteful. Let me tell you something. If you want your marriage to last, then you need to build it on what lasts. And your wedding doesn't last. Your wedding doesn't last. It's about time I saw you. You know, I called you in. I was ready to text you. Yes, I was, because God said it's time for you to get back in the house. And hallelujah. Huh? I need you. And you need to be sitting here among the saints. Shedebo. So hallelujah. You are here and you're in. I establish you as a fixture in your place. So I want to tell you, talking about money as a spirit, can you imagine starting your marriage in debt? You already brought debt to the marriage, and now you created more debt for a day. I call it a day debt. One day. Do you realize that marriage, what do you call them, marriage consultants? Is that what they call them? The wedding planners. Thank you. You realize that they absolutely love fantasy, and they love, and I'm telling you, they love fantasizing women. They create an illusion. You didn't have that good of illusion when you were dating. I went to a wedding and watched them spend $40,000, and then I turned my back, and when the wedding was over, I looked back at the church, and the wedding planner had taken all their props, and it was gone. But think about how much you'll learn about each other as you're buying furniture for your house, as you're decorating it, your first home, as you're setting it up to look the way you want it to look when you come from your luxury cruise. I'd spend money on two things, the honeymoon and the house. There you go. H&H. If you're going to go into debt, at least go into debt with something that will build equity. There's no equity in a wedding day. You get a piece of cake that you freeze a year later and you don't want to eat. I tried that. That was horrible. That was the worst cake I ever had in my whole life. Because the point is not where you start. The point is how you start. So if you say, I'm only going to have this and we're going to put $5,000 or $10,000 down on a down payment for a home. Because if you can scrape up that money, you realize that wedding planners don't let you owe them. So if you can pay as you go, you can save as you go. But you marry the world of that person. The last piece I would tell you, don't marry anybody you don't want to serve. And don't marry anybody that you don't want to become like. Because marriage is going to turn you into your spouse. The spirit of marriage is an interesting spirit. Oh, yeah, you don't think so, but you do. You start finishing each other's sentences. You start knowing how each other thinks before they think. Your kids start telling you, you sound just like that. Mom would say something like that. No matter how different you are, you become one another. As a matter of fact, when I do counseling and wedding vows, I always say this. I say, you know, marriage births a third person, the fusion of you two. And so once you become a spouse, there are three people in that union. There is you, there is your spouse, and then there is that third person who becomes the fusion of the two. Now, how do you recognize that? I will start with the men. You ever notice that when you have boys' night out, y'all behave one way until a wife walks in the room? She changes the climate. Shifts that climate all of a sudden. Yeah, okay, baby. Mm-hmm. You ever notice women? You hanging out with the girls, y'all talking off, whatever, get a little racy, and husband walk in. Hi, baby, I didn't know you were here. What you doing here? We always ask them what they're doing here. You aren't supposed to be home. Now, so who reacted? The spouse reacted different from the male or female. Now, you could tell a marriage is not going to work by the fact that the spouse does not react to the other spouse walking in the room. That's a dead union. When they walk in the room and you look up and you say, oh, it's you. That's pretty dead. Not, what do you want? How can I help you? Is everything okay? No. Oh, it's you. If your spouse ceases to react to your presence, that's an indicator that your presence means less than it did in the beginning. The flip side of that is when you are together and you have to keep publicly showing people that it's working, it means it's not working. That's your ad agency. So you have to keep touching, feeling, and hugging because you act like if I don't, people won't think we love each other because you don't have the emotions or the union, the bond to emit or exude your love. Because when that bond exudes, folks, you, one could be on one side of the room, another could be on the other, and somehow or another, they know you belong together. So I will tell you that you can date all day long. And I will tell you one thing that I do believe. And one day I'm going to get one of my folks, one of my PhDs, to do a study on it. But I am convinced the longer you date, the shorter you'll be married. You date enough per people, you only learn how to break up. Dating, the harmonies, the match.com, they only teach you how to break up and blow people off. They never teach you how to stay together and how to restore a relationship when it's broken. The whole concept of the dating and mating thing works in tandem with the wedding planner. If you don't create an environment where a lot of weddings are going to happen, there's no reason to make that an industry. You have to sometimes look at all of those things that support an industry of failed marriage and failed unions. Because that's an industry. There is a whole industry. The divorce lawyer, the wedding planners, the constant weddings, the dating sites, the social sites, all of that is not for you to find the right person, because Match.com is not going to do well if you stay married for 30 years. If two-thirds of their people stay married for 30 years, that's not going to work. You realize that's not helpful. So something has got to be built in there to see to it that you come back. Repeat business. Huh? Yeah, we have the guarantee you keep coming back. The wedding planner has the guarantee you keep coming back. And who's that guarantee? The divorce lawyer. Okay? And then the whole passion thing guarantees that you keep picking the wrong person because you always pick on feelings. You know, a lot of relationships, you may not have the passion that you want out the gate, but that doesn't mean that that's not your mate. Because there are a whole lot of things that grow when you're together day in and day out, year in and year out. And trust me, Hollywood's idea of passion don't work for them either. Because if it was working for them, they wouldn't be showing you how to do it with somebody else. So I will say to you, I don't know who you are, and I don't know why God had me go this way. I hope God answered your questions. And I hope he gave you information that you can use. But if I were to wrap this up, I would say this. Number one, explore the world you're about to marry. Because you don't realize who that world is and what that world's going to look like till the wedding day when they all show up. and they all get together, and you start looking at the fighting, and you start looking at the arguing, and the contention, and the fussing, and the scheming. That's when you meet what you married. So you might have known who you were marrying, but you didn't know what you were marrying. That's the number one thing I would say to you. The second thing I would tell you is if you do not want to become like that person, don't marry him. If you feel like you got to change him and you're planning for your change program to be the day after the wedding, you better also schedule your divorce. Because if you didn't like them the way you should before you married them, you're going to like them less when you can't go home and leave it. Even if you live with somebody, trust me, people think it doesn't matter, but it does matter if you're shacking. And you know why it matters? Because the underlying, unspoken caveat of shacking is that I can leave what I want with a no-cost divorce. You can just walk out, never come home. Or you can marry somebody else without a problem. So you got this comfort over here, and you've got this custom thing over here. I can't tell you how many women have lived with men for 4, 5 years, 6 years, only to find out he got married to somebody else. Because when you're just shacking, nothing prevents them from betraying you or trading up at no cost. But that's why they're doing it. They're trading up. You're just keeping things moving. Oh, yeah. See, we don't talk like that. We tell you all of these Christian ideals, and it doesn't work. I'm going to tell you right now, I will not give any man my 24-hour, 7-day attention and no, without a hook. You're going to be on the hook, buddy boy. I'm going to hook you and hook you good, and I'm going to hook you tight. Baby, but you're going to be hooked. Hallelujah. Now, I may have to deal with a girlfriend, but she got to deal with the law. So you all can say, well, we have to try it out to see if it works. If you try out a car and find out it doesn't work, do you buy it? So if you can't get along of your free will, what makes you think that a piece of paper is going to make you treat each other better? And if you don't believe in it enough to put yourself on the hook at the outset, you never build faith in it. See, that's a con too, because that's that repeat business. See, then you get mad and then you get on a rebound. You understand the rebound, man. I'm telling you, they do a lot of business with rebound business. So I would say to you, whoever you are, rethink this. And rethink the irrationality of this culture's marital ideals and marital inducements. They only exist to break your heart and keep breaking your heart and keep breaking your heart. And make sure that the person that you decide to marry is somebody you will like 10 years from today. Not love, like. Because a lot of people are trapped in love with people they can't stand. Isn't that the truth? I love you. I can't leave him because I love him, but I hate his guts. Oh, I can't stand this woman. I don't know. And all they got is love and sex. Not enough to call it happy. And so I hear God speaking to somebody today and telling you, you need to rethink some things or take your time and examine some things. Sister-in-laws are horrible if they don't like you. Brother-in-laws are wretched if they don't like you. Aunts and uncles, you might say, well, I don't care about my family. Yeah, you do. Trust me, you will. 5 years later, you will. Because you're going to say, you made me leave my family for you. See, there's no win in that situation. I haven't talked to my mother in 5 years because of you. Make sure you've explored that world. And make sure that what you feel is love, so that you have to ask yourself, if they, when they stop being cute, if they have an auto accident and they are maimed, will you still want your marriage? Because that's the hardest question. If they're not what you marry, if life changes them to the point that they cease to be what you marry, what you quote unquote fell in love with, will you still want the marriage? Because that's love. Because love is, I want to be wherever you are, however that looks. Because love means you're connected with something inside of them, not something external. Make sure that you want to change, and make sure you want to give, and you want to give of yourself to the point of denying yourself. And make sure that they want to do the same for you. And if they don't, make sure that you're okay with them being selfish, self-centered, and self-absorbed. Because some people are okay with that. I mean, I'm not going to say I am, you know, but I'm a pretty demanding person. But you have to make sure that you're okay with marrying somebody who's not going to give back, or who can't give on par with you, who can't give of themselves, who can't think of anything but themselves. Conversation starts with them in the morning and ends with them at night. And guess what you have for lunch? Them. You need a little snack? Them. Everything is about them. Make sure that's the marriage you want to do that for 40 years, 20 years, 30 years, 10 years. Make sure that's what you want. To be ignored, to be looked or glossed over, to be caught up in their obsessions and yours being totally spurned or despised. Make sure that's what you want, because now we're talking about people stuff and not matrimonial stuff. Make sure that that's a person that you want. Make sure you want to sit there and listen to the same old stories for 20 years. Rehash, repeat it. Make sure that you're marrying somebody who was a fighter, or that you're okay with marrying a loser. No, people are. Because people don't want a lot. Some people just want to be married. You know, I don't care. You know. But make sure you know what you're getting. The thing is, don't buy blind. Don't buy blind. And don't buy emotional. Don't marry somebody after you just had a big breakup. You lost your job. You met somebody and carrying on. You just got over a deep hurt, because you are not going to make good decisions. And lastly, but I think most importantly, don't put all your money on the wedding. Put your money in the marriage. Put all your money in the marriage. Set up, if you want a fairy tale, let's set up the one that can last the longest. Let's get a fairy tale house in a fairy tale neighborhood. Come on now. I'm going to get me a fairy tale house and fairy tale. Well, I'm going to get me some fairy tale furniture. Okay. That's it. That's right. And so, and decorate, instead of running around trying to find the right flour, cake, and cookies, the right chicken and venue, run around trying to find somebody to help you decorate your house instead of a wedding planner. Get a home decorator. See, because honey, let me tell you something, that'll last a lot longer. If you're going to go on a honeymoon, don't go on a honeymoon more expensive that looks better than the house you want to come back to. Because you're gonna be irritated. Man, when we were on the ocean and we were in the penthouse, I married a young couple like that. I'll never forget it. They got married. Their friend offered them a penthouse on a beach, some sort of retreat, something. And they spent 10 days. So they went from the wedding to the limo, see how that's going, to the penthouse for 10 days and came home to the rat house. And that's when they knew they were moved by a delusion. Wow. You don't want to do that. I tell all my daughters, don't do that. Before you pay for the wedding, if you all know you're going to, before you do that, make sure you're going to like where you come home. Because you've got a fairy tale wedding, a fairy tale honeymoon, and a reality home. And that may not be what you want. Hallelujah. Was this okay? Was it okay?
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live weekly interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.